It's the TED Radio Hour from NPR. I'm Manoush Zomorodi. And on the show today, abandoned places, stories of desertion and renewal. Back in July, I went to TED's climate conference, this year in Detroit. Detroit, of course, was the once wealthy motor city, but it hit incredibly hard times when manufacturers and locals left in droves. But one speaker, a woman named Anika Goss, is working to build a new future for Detroit, one abandoned lot at a time.
All of you here, this is fantastic.
To get people to stay, she says, Detroit citizens need to remember why their families came here in the first place.
I am a third-generation Detroiter. My grandmother moved to Detroit in 1936 during the Great Migration and brought all of her Southern ways with her. She owned a home on Mendota Street and knew that home ownership would create wealth and opportunity for her growing family. My family story is not an unusual Detroit story, and up until the late 1950s, Detroit was a haven for middle-class families living in neighborhoods where there was green space and community connectivity and opportunity. But my grandmother's Detroit is not the Detroit that I live in today. In 75 years, our city went from a peak population of 1.8 million down to a population of 620,000 in 2022. All of those sites where there was manufacturing and industrial sites that led to our economic boom, many of those industrial sites stand vacant and abandoned. We now have about 19 square miles of vacant land in Detroit. These industrial sites have led to dangerous contamination, both to our land and our water and our air.
After Anika gave her talk, she and I got together at a local coffee shop so I could learn more about her organization, Detroit Future City, and why having fewer people means rethinking Detroit's economy and landscape. I mean, it sounds like the things that made Detroit so livable then, those have changed. Can you just sort of draw a picture of now?
Yeah. So I think what's really changed, the population loss has had a pretty dramatic effect in ways that I think people aren't necessarily focused on. When you think of population loss, you think of just less people.
Yeah.
But in fact, population loss also means fewer dollars for infrastructure. And when I say infrastructure, I mean like there's fewer dollars to fix streetlights and repair water mains and take care of parks and trees, right?
The basics.
The basics. That's what that is. So all of that puts the people who are living in those communities at risk for climate impacts first. Poor air quality, contaminated water, heat island impact. And I think people are thinking that it's all equal across the board. But these people who have been living here, who live near a factory, an operating factory or a vacant factory, are definitely at the most risk for climate change impact.
So here we are, a city that really thrived by being entrenched in its ways. Mm-hmm. But those ways aren't working anymore. And that's where you come in. Tell me about what you're trying to do.
Yeah. We began to see at Detroit Future City that we have to do something in those neighborhoods right away. And that's what we really call a resilient neighborhood model. Okay. This idea of planting urban tree canopy, so an urban forest, mm-hmm. planting intentional food gardens, but also sustainable gardens. When you think of gardens, you're thinking of kale and carrots. But sustainable gardens is what brings bees back. It's what brings butterflies back. It attracts birds. It cleans the air and the soil, and which actually supports clean water. So planting sustainable gardens alongside food gardens in neighborhoods that are also vulnerable for economic inequity is critically important.
Anika took me to visit several abandoned lots that have been given radical makeovers.
This is so beautiful.
It's gorgeous.
We strolled through a wooded area. What was once six vacant lots is now covered with trees, gardens, a fire pit, and a stage.
So we've done about 55 vacant lots in Detroit. We've spent well over $1 million throughout the city.
To help residents envision what they can do with these vacant lots, Anika and Detroit Future City have a kind of catalog of options, like a choose-your-own-adventure for landscaping.
So, yeah, we provided the landscape design for them.
Okay.
And we worked together with the community for the design, for the kinds of trees that they wanted to see planted.
This neighborhood picked an urban forest design. Another, a meditation garden.
Wow.
Oh, this must have been a ton of work. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
I was particularly partial to the friendly fence design, which helps neighbors turn an empty lot between them into a rain garden that looks pretty and manages storm runoff with an optional pond.
Fish your fish.
Yeah, there's a lot of fish in here.
So nice.
If you come from a city that has a lot of green spaces, maybe creating community gardens doesn't seem like a big deal to you. But for these neighborhoods, it is transformative and reminiscent of better times.
My relation to this neighborhood goes way back.
This is Katrina Watkins. She grew up in the historically Black area called Black Bottom.
My family has been in this neighborhood since 1946. I grew up hearing the stories about Black Bottom and Paradise Valley from my dad. And he was like, Blacks had businesses and people looked out for each other. And it was those type of stories that made me say, wow, we just really need to bring, you know, that back.
Just a few years ago, Katrina and her dad took it upon themselves to mow all the vacant lots around them and try and spruce up the neighborhood.
We just would go and start cutting down the overgrowth.
But then Katrina realized that more grants were becoming available. And with help from places like Detroit Future City, she could begin to strategically revitalize the neighborhood.
And it just grew from there.
Katrina founded the Bailey Park Neighborhood Development Corporation, where she is now the CEO. The neighborhood's new centerpiece includes a playground and concert area.
It's just a really green, chill environment where people feel safe to bring their children and families. We do live music events on the weekend where they can come and just enjoy it and feel the neighborhood.
There are now some 250 more trees in the park and all around, native plants at the edges.
When you see the park and the greenery makes such a difference in the trees.
Yeah.
And I had someone just tell me yesterday, you know, wow, that's in this neighborhood. I mean, people often feel that way.
And it's about more than beauty. Katrina recruits her neighbors to work on these projects by explaining how tree roots anchor the soil, helping to protect their homes from climate events like the massive floods that hit a couple years ago.
It's about educating residents on the importance of trees and native plants and how it clean, you know, makes the air cleaner.
It looks really good, actually.
Back at the cafe, Anika explained to me that this slow but steady approach will help revitalize the city as a whole.
All right, what's going to happen? Give me your short-term vision for Detroit.
My short-term vision for Detroit is that we're going to see a lot more younger, middle-class, Black and brown families that are moving into these neighborhoods. And these neighborhoods are going to have amazing green space, tree canopy, urban forests. It's going to look like a city that you just wouldn't expect, and not just in the 9-mile radius around downtown, but It's 139 square miles.
This is a short term. Like, how short term are we talking?
I think you should come back. Give me 5 years.
Okay.
I think we'll have something to show you.
Nika Goss is the CEO of Detroit Future City. To see her full talk, go to TED.com. Many thanks to Katrina Watkins, CEO of the Bailey Park Neighborhood Development Corporation, too.